occur in Moab is ruined, destroyed in a night. Dibon goes up to its temple, to its high places to weep. Moab wails over Nebo and Medeba. Every head is shaved and every beard is cut off. In the streets, they wear sackcloth. On the roofs, in the public squares, they all wail. Prostrate with weeping, Hishbon and Eliah cry out. Their voices are heard all the way to Jahaz. Therefore, the armed men of Moab cry out, and their hearts are faint. My heart cries out over Moab. Her fugitives flee as far as Zeor, as far as Eglath, as Salishiah. They go up the way of Lahuth, weeping as they go onto the road to Hanoroim. They lament their destruction. The waters of Nimrim are dried up, and the grass is withered, the vegetation gone. Nothing green is left. So the wealth they have acquired and stored up, they carry away over the ravine of the poplars. Their outcry echoes along the border of Moab. Their wailing reaches far into Eglon. Their lamentation far as Beer Elim. Dimon's water are full of blood, but I will bring still more upon Dimon. A lion upon the fugitives of Moab and upon those who remain in the land. Send lands as tribute to the ruler of the land, from Selah across the desert, to the mount of the daughter of Zion. Like fluttering birds pushed from the nest, so are the women of Moab at the fords of Arnon. Give us counsel. Render a decision. Make your shadow like night at high noon. Hide the fugitives. Do not betray the refugees. Let the Moabite refugees stay with you. Be their shelter from the destroyer. The oppressor will come to an end, and destruction will cease. The aggressor will vanish from the land. In love, a throne will be established. In faithfulness, a man will sit on it, one from the house of David, one who in judging seeks justice and speeds the cause of righteousness. We have heard of Moab's pride, her overwhelming pride and conceit, her pride and her insolence. But her boasts are empty. Therefore, the Moabites wail. They wail together for Moab. Lament and grieve for the men of Kir Hesedeth. The fields of Heshbon wither. The vines of Sibmah also. The rulers of the nations have trampled down the choicest vines, which once reached Jazir and spread towards the desert. Their shoots spread out and went as far as the sea. So I weep as Jazir weeps for the vines of Sibmah. O Hishbon, O Elealeh, I drench you with tears. The shouts of joy over your ripened fruit and over your harvest have been stilled. Joy and gladness are taken away from the orchards. No one sings or shouts in the vineyards. No one treads out wine at the presses. For I have put an end to shouting. My heart laments for Moab like a harp. My inmost being for Kir Hareseth. When Moab appears at her high place, she only wears herself out. When she goes to her shrine to pray, it is of no avail. This is the word the Lord has already spoken concerning Moab. But now the Lord says, within 3 years, as a servant bound by contract would count them, Moab's splendor and all her many people will be despised, and her survivors will be very few and feeble. Let's pray. Father, we come before you this morning. We seek your face. Lord, we read your word here, and we hear of destruction. We hear of a destroyer. We hear of an oppressor. Lord, we hear of drought and war and famine. But also, Lord, we hear of your comfort. We hear of your presence and we hear of your heart. So Lord, we want to know more. We want to understand what it is that you're saying to us through your word. Father, I pray your anointing to be upon me as I preach this morning, that I would indeed speak your word in power and in truth, or that you would guide the words that I say, that you would guide this message so that your people here are encouraged, that they are blessed, but most of all, Lord, so that your name is the one lifted up and glorified, that you, Lord, are worshipped and made known. Father, be present here in our midst this morning. We ask this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Two chapters, kind of a big chunk, but it's all one prophecy. It's all speaking to Moab, the country of Moab. Do you realize that the country of Moab is about as far from us here as my sister lives from me down in Elko? It's about 50 miles away from Jerusalem, from the capital of Jerusalem to the capital of Moab. They're close. Just the other side of the Jordan. There's a bluff just to the east of the Jordan. And when Moses came with the Israelites, Reuben and some others, they're like, yeah, this is a good place. We want to stay here. Moses said, okay, you guys can be here, but you still have to go with us into the promised land and help us get that. They said they would. But already the Moabites were living there. Who were the Moabites? Moabites are cousins of the Israelites, if you would. Do you remember Lot, the story of Lot? If you remember, there were a couple of angels that came to visit Abraham. And they were on their way to the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah to bring judgment. And Abraham attempted to intercede on their behalf, saying eventually if there were just 10 good men in the city that they would be spared. They couldn't find 10 men. There was one. There was Lot. And he gave God's messengers comfort that night and protection from those who would seek to abuse them. And they said, God's going to bless you. He's going to withhold judgment from you at this time. You and your family are to leave now. Don't look back. Because God's going to bring judgment. And the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah were destroyed. Lot's wife, she looked back, was thrown into a pillar of salt. Lot and his daughters, they finally go up into the caves, up the bluff, where roughly the area right now where we'd say is the eastern side of the sea, or of the Dead Sea, in that area. They went in these caves and they got their father drunk and had relations with him and bore him each a son, the two daughters. The son of the eldest daughter was named Moab, and he founded the nation of Moab. Lot was a relative of Abraham, his nephew. Isaac and Lot are cousins.
their distant family. God cares about them. And they still had a special place in His heart. And He desired that Moab would have a closer relationship. And we see that throughout the history of Israel, that they had an on-again, off-again, love-hate relationship, kind of like most cousins. I got along great with my cousins sometimes. Sometimes we got in a fight. Anybody else have that kind of relationship with their cousins? They can be your best friend, but they also... But next thing you know, you're having... just cousins. Family, though. Verse 5, it says, My heart cries out over Moab. That's God speaking through His prophet Isaiah. My heart cries out over Moab. Moab was a place of shelter in times of drought and famine. You see, being on the bluff on the eastern side of the Jordan, they got some rain a little bit more often than some of the other places. So crops would grow there, or you might not be getting it somewhere else. We have the story of Ruth, where Naomi and her husband had gone to Moab during a famine. And then her husband died, and her sons who had remarried, both the sons died. And Naomi's sitting there with a couple of daughters, daughter-in-laws, and said, "You know what? I'm going home. You gals, I just release you from any obligation to me whatsoever. Go back to your families. I don't know what I'm going back to in Israel." But Ruth wouldn't give it up. She said, "Your people shall be my people, your God shall be my God." And she is the great-grandmother of David. David, out of the line of which we receive Jesus. And we have here, in verse 5, "In love, a throne will be established. In faithfulness, a man will sit on it. One from the house of David." As God is bringing judgment against Moab, we need to understand that He also loves Moab. See, the judgment is not meant just as a punishment. The judgment that is brought is meant as discipline. Do you understand the difference between punishment and discipline? The purpose of punishment is to make you sorry, to cause you pain, to make you pay for your wrong. The purpose of discipline is to show you that what you've done is wrong and to change the direction of your future actions. So why is God disciplining Moab? Why has He released an oppressor against them? An aggressor. Why? Well, we see that they put their faith, instead of in God, in themselves, in the strength of their walls, in the fruit of their fields, in the work of their hands. They've said, "Look what we've done." Pride. Self-sufficiency. We got it handled. We don't need the God of Abraham. But just in case, we got some other gods that we kind of made of our own, and we keep them up in the high place, and if we need it, we'll go there. We'll find our help from other source, someone other than the Creator of the universe. Matter of fact, they had one king who sacrificed his own son on the city walls. Now, this was a time when Israel itself was coming against Moab. And they saw that sacrifice on the walls. They said, we don't want to go. We can't go against gods that behave in this manner, that do this. They were afraid. They didn't think God would take them on. But here would could provide them the strength to take on somebody who was willing to do that. To their shame. Which is why in verse 1 it opens up, Ar in Moab is ruined, destroyed in night. Ker in Moab is ruined, destroyed in the night. Saying that that which the people of Moab had put their faith in, gone in the night. See, God wants to turn Moab. Verses in chapter 16 and verses 3 and following says, give us counsel. Render decision. Make your shadow like night at high noon. What is a shadow? What is night at high noon? Nothing. So what's the shadow of night at high noon? I mean, the shadow is even less than that. I mean, it's just bright. The light. Make your shadow like night at high noon. Hide the fugitives. Do not betray the fugitives. Let the Moabite fugitives stay with you. Be their shelter from the destroyer. Look, God is telling the people of Israel, the people of Judah, the people who follow God through His prophet Isaiah here, is those who come seeking shelter need to be received. They need to be protected. Hide them from the oppressor, from the aggressor. Make their shadow like what a noonday is. Nothing. Night at noon is nothing. There isn't there. You can't find them so that the aggressor can't find them. How do we do that? You bring them in. What they're told to do here. And what's the promise? That the oppressor will come to an end and the destruction will cease and the aggressor will vanish from the land. And in love a throne will be established. You see? The throne, the place of ruler and authority. And the one who's going to be sitting in that seat of ruler is one who's descended from the Moabites, even. It's not just those who come from the line of Abraham that God has a heart for. God has a heart for those here who are lost, but yet those who are willing to run to Him in their time of distress. When He brings discipline, they're willing to change from what they've been doing that earned that discipline. For one doesn't discipline somebody who hasn't earned it, right? If you're doing what's right, you don't get disciplined, do you? Not if you don't want to confuse somebody. If somebody's doing something that's right, what do? You give them praise. Look at what God is saying here. He says, my heart cries over Moab, but I will bring still more upon Dimon. We have heard of Moab's pride, so I weep as Jizer weeps. I drench you with tears, for I have put an end to the shouting. My heart laments over Moab, my innermost being for Ker. See, what God is crying for His lost people, the Moabites who are in rebellion,
who are prideful in their sin, trusting in other gods, trusting in the work of their own hands, trusting in their wealth. He's the one who's bringing correction to them. Why? If He loves them, why is He correcting them? Why is He causing them pain and hurt? Because if He doesn't correct them, there is in the final, in that day, there will be final judgment. As we're told here, there was one who was coming to judge, who seeks justice and speeds the cause of righteousness. That's Jesus. We see Jesus sitting on the great white throne of judgment in the end of Revelation. He's not sitting there watching something. He's the one who is participating in the judgment. He's the active judge. He's just not there as a spectator. And His judge is going to be there for righteousness. Now, what does the Scripture tell us about our righteousness? It tells us that we're not righteous, not one. But that we need the righteousness of Christ to cover us. See, in love, God has set up this throne. In love, He brings discipline against the people of Moab. In love, He brings discipline against you and I, against the people around us today, our neighbors, those who are yet relatively close and geographically, maybe even spiritually, but yet are away from God, our spiritual Moab, if you would. They're denying Him. Anybody know somebody like that? I do. And then you see that they got something terrible happening in their lives. Why is God allowing this terrible thing to happen? Sometimes it's judgment. Sometimes it's discipline. God is doing whatever is necessary. He loves them so much that He will do absolutely whatever is necessary to get them to change their direction. Remember our definition of love? Andy, there's a screen button up there for love. If you don't know where it is, Mike, show it to you. But throw it up on the screen. Love is selfless, loyal, benevolent concern for the well-being of another person. That's love. Selfless. You're putting somebody before yourself. So even though it hurts, you do it anyways. It's loyal. Even though they've not been good to you, you're not going to let them go. You're benevolent. You do what's best for them. Not necessarily what they want. Who here wants to get disciplined? Not so much. It's an uncomfortable proposition. I've never really enjoyed it. One part of me says, I want it because if I don't have it, I know I'll go wrong. But the other me says, can I have like soft, quiet, you know, can we cut back on this one just a little bit? You know. Sometimes discipline needs to be sharp. Sometimes it needs to be firm. And sometimes discipline is indeed given by the parent, the one who loves the one being disciplined, in tears. But yet, it is given anyways. Why? So that their behavior can be checked and changed. Stop going down that path of destruction and change so that they're going down the path of a restored relationship with Christ. We, as the church, if we find these people seeking after God who have been turned, what are we supposed to do? We're supposed to hide them from the oppressor. Hide them from the aggressor. What is that? Bring them in here. Get them out of the devil's grasp. Bring them into the body of Christ. Come around them in prayer and support. If God disciplines someone and they recognize it and turn to Him and come to the church, come to the people of God seeking refuge, you know what they should find here? Refuge. Not judgment. Not condemnation. Not more oppression or aggression. But love. But protection. But hope. Isaiah made this, communicated this oracle, shared this prophecy with the world. And the end of it we see here in verses 13, 14. It says, this is the word of the Lord has already been spoken concerning Moab. People knew that this was going to happen already. It said, but now the Lord says, within 3 years, as a servant bound by contract, would count them. All splendor and all the many people will be despised, and the survivors will be few and feeble. Now, how does somebody who's under contract, a servant under contract, count them? Count the days with extreme precision. In the military, I've got 3 sons who have all spent time in the military. Butch has spent time in the military, a few others, and kids, I said, kids in the military. Anybody know what a short timer is? They're the ones who can tell you how many weeks, days, hours, minutes until they're out. They're like, I'm out, and they got it down. They know. I'm counting down, doing the countdowns. That's what's talking about here. How precise is the counting? We're not talking, well, give or take 3 years, maybe it's 6 years, you know, maybe it's 3 years as God sees them. No, we're talking, this time we're being told it's 3 years as a servant under contract counts it. Servant under contract counts it. At this date, at this hour, I'm a free person. This is the precision with which this prophecy, this oracle was given. At that time, you know what? It happened. But this oracle isn't just about what was going on in the past. This oracle is also for us here today. It shows us about God's love and the precision with which God was able to bring this judgment and discipline and correction and restoration even of some. It's still happening today. And if God could do it then, He can and will do it now. Moab's splendor and all her many people will be despised, and her survivors will be very few and feeble. As Christians, do we have any strength in and of ourselves? Not a bit. And we're told, unfortunately, that the survivors are not everybody. Those who find comfort and protection in the Lord. As much as we may want for everyone to turn to Christ, we're told it's a narrow gate. But our task is to receive each and every one of them that walks through that gate. To be a place of refuge when they come here, a place of hope. Because God has done, brought discipline in love that He might receive them back to Himself. And we as the family of God need to do so also in love. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your word this day. Lord, we thank You that even in Your word where we look and we see that You are bringing discipline and judgment. Lord, you lay out hope. And you show us that you do care. Lord, if you did not care, there would not be tears at having to bring correction. Lord, might we know that you love us and you love those who are outside of your body at this time. And that you want them to be restored to that right relationship with you. So, Father, help us to be faithful in receiving any who come here seeking refuge, that they might find a place of hope and encouragement. Might they know that in love you've brought correction to them so that they might experience true joy. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand as we close by singing As the Deer.